The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to consider that names do matter. Overview of the program. This broadcast examines the reality that names do matter, particularly Yah and Yahushua. We then look at the true names of the Almighty in the Bible. We note that Father Yah has said, "If you love me, call me by my true name." We're reminded that we're enjoined, "Do not take the name of the Almighty in vain." It is stressed that we should rather use Yahweh or Yahweh and not the Lord. We then discuss Yah the Eternally Self-Existing and then talk about names that reference Yah. We do this with particular reference to Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. We then discuss Elohim, the Almighty, Mighty One, not God, and other names of the Almighty, El, Eli, Eloah, Elah, etc. We note that the Lord, or Baal, is a blasphemous name, and we note that God is another blasphemous name. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. So we're going to start off with the article reference 2013.03.11, Names Do Matter, Yah and Yeshua. There is all sorts of debate about the true name of the Almighty Creator, commonly known as God or the Lord, and the true name of the Prophet of Galilee, commonly known as Jesus. By extension of other articles published at this time, at the time this article was published, there's only one way to find the true names, and that is by praying for guidance and fasting until one comes to a place of personal revelation through the leading of the Spirit of the Almighty. Intellectually, one can reason that Yahshua, Jesus, was a Jew or a Hebrew, and it is therefore reasonable for him to have a Hebrew name. One can extend this argument to the effect that the name of the Almighty in the form of Yah permeates the Hebrew language and the names of Hebrew men and women, and in words such as Hallelujah. And one can find oneself battling to defend one's position against arguments that say that Jesus did not speak Hebrew or even Aramaic, and. I hope by the end of this broadcast I will really have convinced you that it matters what you call the Almighty, and that it matters what you call Yeshua. I can't stress enough how important it is. Alternatively, you can pray for guidance, pray for judgment, pray for correction, and go on multiple fasts, explicitly seeking truth. And after some time, in my experience, after some years, you will eventually come to a settled assurance that you already have heard the Almighty clearly, and it really does not matter what academic arguments or rationalizations are offered. You know the true names. I claim to be at that point. The fundamental essential name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, and is most accurately represented in English as YAH. The name of the prophet commonly referred to as Jesus is Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. The common Hebrew form of Yahweh, YHWH, frequently translated Yahweh, YAHWEH, is more accurately translated Yahweh, YAHOOEH, and means Yah the eternally self-existing, and is a statement of one of the essential characteristics of the Creator. God is a totally inaccurate translation of the Hebrew Elohim or Aramaic Elah and Arabic Allah, which means mighty one or mighty one capitalized, mighty one lowercase, or almighty, and is a pagan and blasphemous name that the Almighty hates, but extended grace for. This grace was withdrawn in January 2001. Folks, it hurts Father so much when you call him God and the Lord. We'll talk more about this in a minute, but I can't stress it enough. It really is hurtful. He's made so many accommodations, and you shouldn't take advantage of it. The Lord is an accurate translation of Baal and bears no relation to the Hebrew Yahweh that it is, or YHWH, that it is used to represent. And it's also a pagan and blasphemous name that the Almighty hates but extended grace for. This grace was withdrawn in January 2001. Yah for yes in Afrikaans, Yahweh in German, Yahoo.com are all blasphemous names, and there will be judgment for using them. People with Yahoo email addresses should migrate to Gmail or similar. To claim one has a relationship with the Creator and that relationship entitles one to call him other names is insensitive and insulting. I've seen him in tears over a person who refused to change a Yahoo.com email address, and in tears of joy regarding another who walked away from an entire Yahoo group site. Jesus is derived from Zeus and is a blasphemous name which Yah and Yeshua hate. Grace was also withdrawn for this name in January 2001. The correct words are important if you have any interest in pleasing the Creator and claim to love him. I find it very difficult to understand people who argue against what I've just said. It's all amenable to simple research on the internet, simple research in an interlinear Bible. There's absolutely no excuse for using God and the Lord and Jesus, but particularly God and the Lord. There's just really no excuse for it. So the next article that we're going to look at is 2010-12-06, The True Names of the Almighty in the Bible. And we're going to look at the summary of that. The detailed article is on the website, but I'm not going to go through that entire article. At this stage, I did a broadcast on it, I guess about a year ago. In late 2000, the Almighty started to deal with me about a wide variety of issues. One of these was his true name. I quickly encountered teachings which stated that his name was Yahweh. Based on a fairly widely used transliteration of the Hebrew YHWH, which occurs over 5,000 times in the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi, the so-called Old Testament. As he led me further, I discovered that this word was more accurately transliterated as Yahweh, and that it was more accurately translated as Yah, the eternally self-existing. From this, I came to understand that the essential name of our Almighty Creator, our Father in Heaven, was Yah. And from there, I discovered that there were well over 100 names and words in the Bible that contained the name Yah in the Hebrew, although completely lost in the traditional English translations. For example, the name we know as John is actually Yahuchanan, which means Yah has graced. So as I'll explain going forward today, as one unpacks the true names and lets go of the false names, one gets to a much deeper understanding of the Almighty and the matters of the Almighty, and the writings in the Bible take on a whole new dimension. And we'll go into some of that a bit later today. In the same process, I realized that the man most of us know as Jesus Christ was a Hebrew or Jew, a Yahudite, and not a Greek, and that accordingly his name could not be Jesus. It had to be a Hebrew name. I encountered various interpretations of what this name might be, including Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, meaning salvation. But in time came to understand that his name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. Also Yahshua or Yahushua or other derivatives, but that Yahushua was the most exact. That's Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A. Translated Joshua in the books before Yahshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, the so-called Old Testament, but translated Jesus in the books about Yahshua and after Yahshua, the so-called New Testament. I discovered that the Hebrew word generally translated as God was in fact a technical term, Elohim, which means mighty one or almighty, depending on context. Elohim can be applied to the Almighty, generally translated as God, pagan deities, translated as God, and also to human beings. Elohim is not an exclusive reference to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. Other words translated God include Allah, the Aramaic for Elohim, effectively Allah in Arabic, and El and Eli, which in some applications effectively means my personal mighty one or my beloved mighty one, as when Yeshua cried out on the stake or cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, meaning my beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Note that Matthew is more correctly translated as Matiyahu, meaning gift of Yah. So, there's so much that's revealed once you become aware of these truths. At the same time, I came to understand that the commonly used names for the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, Yah, the eternally self-existing, were blasphemous. And it was only as an act of great love and grace that he answered prayers in those names. Specifically, the Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, the pagan god of sexual immorality, and God or Gord is the name of the Babylonian demonic entity of good luck, subsequently adopted by the Germanic people and then adopted by English-speaking people as the name of the Almighty. I also came to understand that Jesus is derived from Iesus, which in turn is derived from Zeus, another pagan deity. In fact, Iesus means blessed of Zeus, and Zeus is a demonic mastermind. I then came to understand that these names were grievously hurtful to our Father in heaven, Yah the eternally self-existing, and to Yahushua, and that Yah only answers to them as a great act of mercy and grace because of the level of deception of those who have some level of relationship with him. Yah summed it up to me as follows. James, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? I got the point and changed my language immediately. Most, if not all, of these errors can be traced back to the period from about 300 AD, when the Roman Church was apostatizing, distancing itself from its Hebrew roots, and making compromises with Satan to make it easier for pagans to convert. What they actually did was that the pagans didn't convert. The pagans converted Christianity to become a pagan religion. Talking of covenants, at the time I wrote this in 2013 or 2010, I forget which, I've recently come to understand that all sins that relate to breaking of the Ten Commandments, which are the essence of the covenant between Yah and man, if they recur repeatedly, result in a covenant with Satan and demonic infestation, at the very least once you've been exposed to the truth. I also came to understand that Christ is a meaningless term that substitutes for a simple English translation, which is anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or anointing of the Spirit of Yah, or one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Thus Christian means an anointed one, or one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. From this I came to understand that Christ is not synonymous with Jesus or Yahshua, and that it is presumptuous for one to call themselves a Christian. Who am I to presume to describe myself as being anointed by the Spirit of Yah? That is something for others to decide. The Almighty is merciful, Psalm 103:8. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This does not mean we should treat his name lightly or call him by other names. This article sets out the above in more detail. So, if you're not going to call Father by his correct name, why do you expect to have a relationship with him? How do you have a relationship with somebody when you don't know their name, or worse still, you know their name but insist on calling them by the name of another, particularly when that name is the name of an enemy? I really hope that you're getting this this point because it really is so important. If you love me, call me by my true name. My name is James. In English culture, this is frequently abbreviated as Jim. For reasons I cannot really explain, I've always been particular about my name. I do not like being called Jim, and barring a few close friends who presume to call me Jim anyway, I've never been called Jim. They're no longer friends. James is a poor translation of the Hebrew Jacob or Yaakov or similar. When I first started communicating with people on the internet who had come to understand something about the true names of the Creator, someone replied to my email calling me Yaakov. I was not amused. My name is James, and it is James no matter where I am in the world and what language is being spoken to introduce me. Names are not to be translated. So when, having shown me his correct name, the Almighty said to me, James, how would you like it if your family insisted on calling you by the name of your worst enemy? I immediately got the point and started to use the correct names. Consider also 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of Yah, that he would keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Surely, if you love the Almighty, you will keep his commandments, including the commandment not to take his name in vain. In order to not take his name in vain, you must know what his name is and realize that substituting other words for his name is taking his name in vain. There's historically been a lot of wrong thinking, particularly amongst the Jewish people, who, not wanting to take Yah's name in vain, stopped using the name altogether and substituted Adonai, Lord, which the Christians then took a step further and replaced it with the Lord, which is in fact a translation of Baal. So really sad. In listening to what follows, it'll be very easy for you to get into an argument on the basis of, but that is what I've always called him, or I've been praying in those names for years, and he's always answered me. Why should I change? Or I've experienced miracles in those names. How can they be wrong? The answer to all of these points is roughly, just because our Almighty Father has extended mercy and grace to you by answering your prayers in these names and has even performed miracles to your benefit because of his great mercy, does that mean you have a license to disregard the truth now that you have learned the truth? If you truly love him, call him by his true name. I appeal to you as you listen to what follows. Bring these issues before our Father in heaven and seek confirmation. And as soon as you have it, then change your language. In fact, if you listen to what follows carefully and prayerfully, you should not need much prayer to confirm that you should change. I have a more detailed article, The True Names of the Almighty in the Bible, which discusses some aspects of this article in more detail. See the Creator's name, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, menu item abstract on the website for a very detailed discussion of this topic. This is a summary that I'm presenting here. The key thing here, folks, is if we go back to the Dark Ages, there was so much error and deception. And as we came out of the Dark Ages, we struggled with limited truth, and Father gave us great mercy. But we don't need that now. We've got the internet, we can look up these things. It's absolutely no excuse. Do not take the name of the Almighty in vain. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, thy Mighty One, in vain. For Yah the Eternally Self-Existing will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This verse is definitive, particularly once you apply the correct translation as set out in the sections that follow. Do not make light of or mock or disdain or use lightly or cheapen or in any other way use the name of the Almighty in vain. As you will see in the sections that follow, these names are clear-cut and distinct, and there can be no excuse for using other names. I think the key thing here is, are you going to show respect to Yah, either because you love him and you don't want to hurt him, or because you fear him and you fear his judgment? I'd rather do it for the former rather than the latter, but if you have to do it for the latter, then do it for the latter. He is angry now. And I think I spoke about this last week. He's angry with people who can't be bothered, and it is can't be bothered, to make use of the correct names. As I said a few minutes ago, there's absolutely no excuse. You can go and check this out on the internet. There's lots and lots of articles on the internet to support what I'm saying. This is not stuff that's sort of hidden in a corner. The information is there. If you want the truth, fast and pray and seek the truth. Then Yahweh, or Yahweh, not the Lord. The first aspect of the truth regarding the names of the Almighty that I encountered related to the word that is traditionally translated in the Bible, the Lord, Lord in capital letters. This word is Strong's number 3068. See the graphic on the website for the Hebrew and the standard translation. The reality is that those who translated the Bible and those who work with the Hebrew text all know that the Hebrew Yahweh is not in any meaningful way related to the Lord. The basic theory of why this is done is that it is allegedly a long-standing Jewish tradition to avoid using the true name of the Almighty in case they take it in vain. So by the time of Yahshua, Jesus, it was common practice to substitute Adonai, one of the Hebrew words for Lord, in place of Yahweh or Yahuwah. The true name was even removed from certain texts, and there are over 100 instances recorded in Jewish religious writings where such substitution is noted. It seems that the English translators simply conformed to this transition, and in the process, effectively making the name of the Almighty of no effect. Excuse me. This word occurs over 5,000 times in the books of the Bible, relating to the period prior to the birth of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ. See the screen dump from the PC Study Bible on the website. So, I don't know what to say. I think it's just, you know, I've been using the correct names now for, I guess, over 22 years. And it just seems natural. It just doesn't, it's just hard to understand why people would resist. While Yahweh is the most commonly occurring English form, it turns out that Yahuwah is more accurate. Thus, we find that the website and email service yahoo.com is a blasphemous name, and shouting Yahoo as an exclamation of victory or excitement is also blasphemous. If you have such an email account, you need to move away from it as a priority. Set up a Gmail account or similar. You can ask for mercy to keep the old account for historical purposes, but you should immediately start using an alternative account and notifying all who write to you as to why you're changing. When you get emails to your Yahoo account, you can copy and paste the email address, and the email for that matter, into your Gmail account and reply from there, or forward to the Gmail account and reply from there. At the time I wrote this, I'd recently had a vision of people using Yahoo accounts crawling with demons. But then again, there's greater complexity. I get a steady stream. It's amazing the number of believers who have yahoo.com email addresses. And I don't always pick it up. I don't always notice it. I don't always respond to it. And some people react immediately and do something about it. And some people just carry on with their Yahoo email address because they don't really care. They don't care about the wrong message they're sending to the satanic and demonic realm, that they're actually in partnership with the satanic realm. They don't care about the insult that they're dishing out to Father. It's just It's disturbing. Yah the eternally self-existing. Yahweh means Yah the eternally self-existing. So from this we deduce that the essential name of the Almighty is in fact not Yahweh or Yahweh or similar. It is in fact Yah, Y-A-H. And thus we see that names that sound like Yah, for example Yah in Afrikaans, J-A, meaning yes, are also blasphemous. And so we see the wiles of Satan. First, he tricked mankind into substituting other words for the true name of the Almighty. Then he tricks mankind into using words that sound like the name of the Almighty in general use in order to trap us into breaking the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain, or thou shalt not take the name of Yah the eternally self-existing in vain. By losing sight of the true name of the Almighty, that is Yah, we also lose sight of the extent to which his name is referenced in the Bible. Those who have not repented of the sin by the day of their judgment will find themselves facing a part in hell when they die before entering heaven. And I'm talking about believers here. And just to reiterate what I've said from time to time, these broadcasts are aimed at believers. If you're not a believer, the first thing you need to do is to come to belief. If you are a believer, then it's up to you to realize that you have the opportunity to seek to draw close to the Father and to become a good and faithful servant or an overcomer or a friend. So there's a diversity of options available to you depending on where you are in your relationship with Father right now. Now I want to talk about names that reference Yah. Once I was sensitized to the true name of the Almighty, Father arranged for me to obtain a copy of the Bible in the version known as, quote, the Scriptures, published by the Institute of Scripture Research and available from http://www.kodesh.co.za, that's Q-O-D-E-S-H.co.za, or Google, look in Google for Kodesh Books. As I read this and referenced other sources, I became aware that the name of Yah permeates the Hebrew text of the books prior to the ministry of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, in other words, the Old Testament. Names like Elijah, which is actually Eliyahu, Yah is my personal beloved mighty one. Judah, which is actually Yahudah, praise Yah. Joshua, which is actually Yahushua, Yah is salvation. There are over 100 names that reference Yah. Jew, which is actually Yahudite, the descendants of Yahudah. So if one curses the Jews or speaks ill of them, one is cursing Yah as well. And so it goes, a rich tapestry of names describing the ministries and callings of numerous well-known characters in the books in the Bible. These same attributes are present in the so-called New Testament, the books relating to the ministry of Yahushua and what followed. But they are more concealed because of the reliance on the Greek texts, because of the loss of the Hebrew texts. Yahuhanan, Yah has graced, the name of John the Baptist, actually Yahuhanan the Immerser, the man whose ministry to Yahushua, Yah is salvation, ushered in the era of grace from Yah. So as you understand these complex names involving Yah and their true meaning translated accurately to English, you start getting a whole richer tapestry of what you're reading about. So let's talk about Yahushua. Yah is salvation. I've already mentioned above the name Yahushua. Yah is salvation. It turns out that this is the correct name of the man most know as Jesus Christ. Thus his very name was a prophetic statement of the role he would play on the earth. But note also that he was not the first Yahudite Jew to be called by this name. Joshua, who led Israel into the promised land, was also actually called Yahushua. And the reason that the name of Yahushua is the name above all names is simply because there's nothing greater in all creation than the salvation of Yah. So it turns out, if you really dig into it, there was a priest called Joshua or Yehoshua. It was actually quite a common name. And so Yehoshua was born with named with a name that was quite common amongst the Jews of his generation, so that he didn't stick out. Can you imagine in a Jewish community his parents had given him a completely unheard of Greek name? He would have been ridiculed. He would have been the target of insults. He would probably have been ostracized. It would have been crazy. He didn't come to do that sort of thing. He came to blend in and show people what you could do as a true believer. Then Elohim, the Almighty, Mighty One, not God. The Almighty Creator is also very frequently referred to as God. In fact, many people think that his real name is God. Fact is, the word most frequently translated as God is Elohim, which should be accurately translated as Mighty One, or in certain contexts, Almighty. To complicate matters, Elohim applies to the Almighty Mighty One, the Mighty One of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, but it also applies to demonic mighty ones like Baal and Satan, and it can also be applied to a king or ruler or other powerful human being. Thus, because a being is a God, Mighty One, that does not mean that they are the Almighty. In fact, for reasons that I will discuss in a minute, it is an insult to call the Almighty God, and it is grace that he's seen fit to answer to this name for all these years. If one loves our Father in heaven, we will substitute the Almighty or Mighty One for all occurrences of God in anything we're reading or singing, where it is clear that this is referring to the Almighty, and use Mighty One for other gods. This is a simple example of how just using technically correct language changes the whole nuance and meaning of what we read, particularly in the Bible. And I would encourage you that if you're somebody who holds the Bible in high regard, that you get a copy of the scriptures with the adjusted wording and start to apply the correct language. It's so important. Other names of the Almighty: El, Eli, Eloah, Ella, etc. As I researched further, I found that there were other words in addition to Elohim that were applied to the Almighty. These include El and Eli, which appear to be simply abbreviated forms of Elohim, but which in context, at least in some cases, such as Yeshua dying on the stake or cross, is a form of endearment. My beloved Mighty One, or my personal Mighty One, both referring to Yah. Eloah and Elah are simply Aramaic forms of Elohim used in the same way as Elohim. Noticeably, Allah, the Arabic form of Allah, also can refer to the Almighty. Thus, it is an error to state that Muslims are worshipping another Mighty One. They may be, because Allah is no more exclusive to Yah than is Elohim or Eli or Elah or God. But since God is not being used exclusively to refer to the Almighty, this is not really an issue. All should be referring to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, or to Yah. The error of the Muslims is less than the error of the Christians on this topic. I've heard ill-informed Christians and read about writings of ill-informed Christians who say that Allah is Satan. Folks, you could get yourself into serious trouble. There are a lot of Muslims who are serving the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. There are a lot of Muslims who are in a lot of error, just like there are a lot of Christians in a lot of error, like a lot of Jews in a lot of error. But the fact of the matter is that for a sincere Muslim, Allah is the name of the Almighty Creator, and they, in some cases, have quite deep relationships there. one of the men who's amongst the closest to the Almighty on the earth, is a Muslim cleric in Tehran, in Iran. Then the Lord, Baal, a blasphemous name. It turns out that the English, the Lord, would be a good translation of Baal, the god of sexual immorality that is referred to throughout the Bible. 1 Kings 18:19 says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Thus not only have men concealed the name of the Almighty, they have substituted it with the blasphemous name of a demonic deity. How great is the love of our Father in heaven that he's answered our prayers in this name. This alone should be sufficient reason for you to change your use of language on this front. To better understand how Yah feels about this, consider Hosea 2:17. "For I will take away the names of Balaam, the Lord, out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." This points to the need for heartfelt repentance and deliverance from that which has oppressed one through the use of this name, as well as humble petition to Almighty Yah to break the covenant with Satan that may have come into place as a consequence. So what we find is that the Jewish people, the rabbis, decided to not use Yah, or Yah the eternally self-existing, or Yah, Yahweh, Yahuwah. So they called him Adonai, Lord, substituted that. The Christians started translating, did the same thing. And then the satanic realm turned it around. So that we were worshipping Satan. It's really, it's quite clever if you think about it. And the demonic masterminds are extremely clever. They're the spirits of highly, highly intelligent human beings who've reigned on earth for close to 6,000 years with Satan. They're extremely wise, they're extremely clever, and they have got complex plots to trip up mankind. So let's talk about God as another blasphemous name. To make matters worse, it turns out that God, or Gord, or Gad, is the Babylonian god of luck and good fortune referred to in Isaiah 65:11. "But ye are they that forsake Yah, the eternally self-existing, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for Gad or Guard, that troop, fortune, and that furnish the drink offerings unto many, that number, fate." There's a lot more on this on the website under the web page, Creator's Name, You Are Eternally Self-Existing, and the child page abstract. I'm not going to carry on with this article next week. I think I've given you the headlines of what's really important, probably repeated myself a few times because I've given you a couple of different articles. So I'm going to move on next week. I encourage you to go to Creator's Name, Yah, Eternally Self-Existing, stroke abstract. There's a very, very detailed analysis there of what I've just shared with you. And I would encourage you to read that and really get a fix on the true names. So to wrap up, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, there's only one reason that this is all exists is because Father was lonely and he wanted intelligent beings to talk to do things with. And if you're not doing that, frankly, you're wasting your life. You're going to be so disappointed when you die. It doesn't matter how old you are right now or young, how rich or poor, how well educated or poorly educated. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nation, your language, whether you're tall or short, whether you're fat or thin, whether you're blonde or brown-haired or black-haired, whether you've got brown eyes or blue eyes or whatever. None of that matters to him. He wants a personal relationship with you. And it's up to you right now to start on the journey looking for that. And I encourage you to do that. So in closing, some key documents on the website, main menu. Compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, the Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Also to Muslims, Jews, etc., all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The article keyword cloud is at the bottom of most web pages. The table of contents is in the right-hand sidebar of most web pages. The article search and the Google search are both available in the right-hand sidebar. The Google search is pretty flexible Google functionality to search the entire website. There's over 2,500 articles, over 1,000 web pages, huge amount of information. Probably answers to most of your immediate questions. And as I say, email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. I would really, really love to hear from you. Don't hold back. If you've got any questions, if you want to share, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions or comments to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. As I said just now, Father is not concerned about your race or anything else about you. He wants you to become his friend. He wants you to understand him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to listen to him. He wants to share in how you lead your life. And it's all there for you. It's as simple as saying, Father Yah, James Robertson says I can become your friend. I choose to become your friend. Please take my hand and lead me and help me to become your friend. Amen. Thank you so much. Good night.